Well, it really is my great pleasure to be with you this morning. I hope if you've closed your Bibles, we might be able to open them up again if you're with one of the church Bibles, page 749, Luke chapter 24. If you haven't already found the outline, it should be somewhere in your notice sheet. And then I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Those disciples on the road to Emmaus said this: "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Our Father, that is our prayer this morning. Lord, that you would speak to us. Lord, as we carry on walking on the road, Lord, that you would, by your Spirit, through your word, speak to each one of us, Lord, as individuals, as a church family. Please lead us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ambassador International. It's a great name, isn't it, for a church? Of course, it makes so much sense in such a global city as Hong Kong to see such an international congregation. It makes sense. We're all called to be ambassadors. Ambassador International. It makes so much sense. And actually, that's a very good name for any church, isn't it? Wherever the church might be in the world, even if it's in a small village in your home country where there's only one ethnic group, no international community, it would still be a great name, wouldn't it? Ambassador International. We Christians, we're all called to get behind God's international agenda, his great plan for the nations, just as we've been singing about all morning. Well, I wonder if you can guess who said the following statement. As we consider all that God has done for us, we want to go into all the world. We want to be active in evangelism, reaching out to Hong Kong and further afield with the good news of Jesus Christ. What a great vision. Any idea who said that statement? You did. It's on your website. Have you ever looked at your website? It's a really good website. I'm sure we'd all agree that we can know something in theory, but actually living it out in practice is often quite another story, isn't it? I know that as a church in London, St. Helens, we like to think we know what we're about, but actually we find it really hard living it out. Well, my aim this morning, as it says on the top of the outline, is this: that we might have confidence, that we might grow in confidence to share this gospel with people of all ethnic groups. Confidence that should impact us next time we seek to have some small talk or we're praying for opportunities to share the gospel with someone of another ethnic group. Perhaps it's as you go to the office tomorrow morning, and is there one of those security guards? Perhaps he's from Nepal, an ex-Gurkha. Perhaps as you get in the lift with that bunch of Indonesian maids. Or perhaps in the office as you see that little cluster of people from mainland China as they eat lunch together. And we're praying for opportunities to get alongside them. My hope is that this morning we're going to be given confidence. As you go and pick up your children from that birthday party, and there are other parents from other ethnic groups, my hope is that we're going to be given confidence to share this glorious good news with people of other ethnic groups. Well, what better place for us to turn than Luke's account of the life of Jesus? Right from the very beginning, he gives us his aim. Chapter 1, verse 4, don't feel you have to look, but he says, he writes that we might have certainty about the things that have been taught. That's what he wants as we read through any part of Luke's gospel, that we might have certainty. And so we get to the end of his account, chapter 24, And it's the same agenda. He wants us to have certainty. Friends, it had been an extraordinary few days for these men on the road to Emmaus. Just look back at chapter 24, verse 18. Jesus had walked along with them, but they didn't realize it was him. And notice the end of verse 17, their faces were downcast. Verse 18, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days? It's hardly surprising they lacked confidence. They were deeply discouraged, disappointed, confused. They had thought that this Jesus was the promised king, the one who was going to deliver them from their enemy, who was going to at last restore God's kingdom, his people living in the promised land, enjoying God's blessing. And what had happened? He'd been pinned to a cross as a common criminal. In many respects, they shouldn't have been surprised, should they? They shouldn't have been confused. And so Jesus explains to them that actually the whole of the Old Testament pointed towards the fact that this promised king would come and suffer, that the Christ would, like a lamb, be led to the slaughter. Well, finally, Jesus reveals himself. And he spends the evening with these disciples. What a wonderful evening it must have been. By the time we get to this morning's passage that was read, it's the following day. Jesus has left them. These guys have gone back to Jerusalem, of course. They wanted to tell the disciples about that encounter. And then all of a sudden, verse 36, let's look down, verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Jesus seeks to reassure them. It's me. See my hands. Touch my body. He even takes a fish, a broil fish. What is a broil fish? I've never answered that. Anyway, he takes a fish and he eats it. The eyewitness evidence for the resurrection is quite simply outstanding. Jesus really was buried. The tomb really was empty. Jesus really did appear to the disciples, individuals, whole groups of people, on numerous occasions. If you're one of friends with us here today who wouldn't call yourself a Christian, perhaps you're looking into the Christian faith, can I warmly encourage you this morning to check out the evidence for the resurrection? You see, at the moment, you already have an opinion of whether or not Jesus rose from the dead. Either he did or he didn't. What is the evidence that you're basing your decision on? Why not check it out this coming week? However, that's not the focus for our time today. We're going to spend our time unpacking just one sentence in this passage, and that's verse 47. Let's look down again, verse 47. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now just have a look again, just look down at that sentence, and see if you can work out why it is that that sentence should give us confidence. Why is that sentence so encouraging? If you had to choose one word which gives us confidence, I wonder which you might choose this morning. We're not going to do a survey. But which one are you thinking gives us real confidence? Friends, we're going to see that almost every word should give us confidence. Even that very first word, and. How can it be that and, a word like that, should give us confidence? Well, wouldn't you love to have been present at that Bible overview as Jesus took them through the Old Testament scriptures? I hear that some of you have been doing that recently. Is it Wednesday night? Thursday night? What a wonderful opportunity to see how the whole Bible fits together. Well, look at verse 44. Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms. That means the whole of the Old Testament. Everything that is written about me must be fulfilled. What an extraordinary claim. Wouldn't you agree? The whole of the Old Testament points to the fact that Christ would suffer and rise again. Now, over the last 15, 20 years, the church in some parts of the world, including Britain, at least in some kind of constituencies, has got really quite excited about the fact that this Bible that we have, this glorious Word of God, is actually one book. Yes, it's 66 different books, but it's one book with one big story. God's salvation plan. And yet sometimes I wonder if we end up thinking that Jesus stops at verse 46. So the Old Testament shows us that the Christ has to suffer and die and rise again. Full stop. But no, it's more. Jesus explains that in the Old Testament, what was written is not only that Jesus would die and rise again, but that also repentance and forgiveness of sins would be preached to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Do you see why the word "and" should give us confidence? This is what we should expect. Friends, what we're considering this morning is not merely a pragmatic strategy for the church in 21st century Hong Kong. No, the whole of the Old Testament points towards this vision. And then Jesus himself underlines the centrality of this vision. So we can go out this morning, we can go out next week, confident to share the gospel to people of all ethnic groups. This has always been God's plan. This is what God's doing in the world today, in 2012. Here in Hong Kong, across the world. We're going to see that such confidence will come from being clear on four key ideas. And first, let's notice the importance of the message. Being clear on the message will give us real confidence. It should make all the difference as we seek to share the gospel to people of all ethnic groups. I wonder if you've ever had any sales experience. Has anyone done sales? Some of us maybe are still doing sales. I don't know. By the way, I didn't mean by that you kind of graduate from sales. Some of us are very gifted at sales, and that's what we're doing, which is great. I don't think I am very gifted at sales, but in the mid-90s, when I was in Beijing as a student, because I was studying Chinese and management studies, the reason I did a joint honours, as I said earlier, I want to make money, and so a bit of business would help as well. Those of us doing management studies had an internship. So we were placed with a company. I was placed with Reuters. And my job was to sell a product. Has anyone here worked for Reuters? I've got to be careful. No, good. Well, maybe you have done, but fine. A financial information service. It was kind of before the days of the internet being the norm. And this was actually quite a good product. It sold real-time information, which obviously for companies investing is very useful to have right up-to-date information. To be honest, it felt a bit ridiculous. A 19-year-old phoning up the general manager of foreign companies all over Beijing, trying to persuade them to buy this product. It was actually quite successful because they had no idea who I was. They could hear a British accent and they thought, well, this must be something at least I should begin to consider. He's from Reuters, he's British, he might be 45, I've no idea. This 19-year-old student was trying to sell them this product. And I learnt over that year that being persuaded of the excellency of the product you're selling makes all the difference. That was actually a pretty good product. And so I was very happy to be quite persuasive because I was convinced it would help them. They would get this and they would know that this was actually very good for their company. Well, let me ask, are you confident in the excellency of the message we have to proclaim? Are you confident that if the person we're sharing this gospel with was to receive it, that they would be so thankful that it would transform their life forever? Are you personally convinced? Indeed, what is this message that we long to share? Well, let's notice how Luke puts it. Verse 47. Repentance and forgiveness of sins. Jesus is the Christ. He's the promised King who's come to rule. And therefore, friends, we need to preach repentance, don't we? We need to call for a decisive turning around, to stop living as if we're in charge, to start living under the rule of King Jesus, just as we were created to live. Now, some of us might be thinking, that's a very hard-hitting message to share with our family and friends, let alone people of other ethnic groups. How does that give us confidence? Friends, knowing King Jesus, living under his rule, really is the best news in the world, isn't it? Unlike most rulers who end up seeking themselves, Jesus came to serve us, didn't he? He came to bring in a perfect world, a restored creation. And he came in the first instance to seek and to save the lost. He came as a servant king. And so we don't just preach repentance, but also forgiveness of sins. There's no getting away from it, is there? Without exception, all human beings, whatever ethnic group we come from, the Bible says, we've all rejected God's rightful rule as our creator. And so we all deserve to face God's judgment. That's why we all die, the Bible says. It's the wages of our rejection of God, our sin. And so hell shouldn't surprise us. It should hurt us. But it's the right thing, isn't it? Friends, how important we help those around us see the seriousness of their sin by outlining the consequences of rejecting the one true God. The people around us need to realize, we need to realize that it's scandalous that we reject his rule. You see, it's only then that people will see what a wonderful message this is. That Jesus came to suffer and to rise again. That in dying on the cross, Jesus came to serve our greatest need. As he took the judgment that we deserve, God's anger for our rejecting him, he took in our place. That we, if we trust in him, might be set free from the penalty of our rejecting God. That we might have life. Jesus took it in our place. This is a great message, isn't it? Those of you here looking into the Christian faith, can you see why it is that we Christians are so excited about this message? Can you see why it is that we really hope you'll come to Christianity Explored when it starts, whenever it was, a few days' time, week's time? Friends, knowing the content of this message should give us real confidence. And so if some of us are lacking confidence, let me ask you, let me encourage you to read through Luke's account over this next week. It will give you confidence. We'll see that Jesus really is the Christ, the promised Son of God, who rules over all. We'll see that Jesus really is the Christ, the promised servant of God, who alone can rescue us through his death and resurrection. It's a good question to ask of our sharing of the gospel. Are we communicating these realities? That Jesus is Lord. As we share the gospel, are we calling people to repent, to turn around? Are we centering our message on the fact that Jesus is King, on the fact that Jesus came to die? Is our message cross-focused? Well, if you're someone who finds it hard to share the Christian faith, maybe the Christianity School course would be good for you too, because it will be a great reminder of this glorious message. Of course, the danger is we focus on felt needs. If you believe in this, you'll have joy and peace and patience. It's the most wonderful thing. You'll find fulfillment and meaning in your life. And of course, that's all true. And yet, can you see the danger of focusing on those fruits of the gospel, not the actual content itself? I don't know about Hong Kong, But in mainland China, the culture is very pragmatic. So if it works, then do it. Deng Xiaoping, who's in many ways responsible for much of the growth of the economy in China, he once said, many of us will know this quote, "It doesn't matter if the cat is black or white, as long as it catches the mouse." And the danger is many of our Hong Kong Chinese friends will be thinking, Christianity, if it works, oh, that sounds very good, thank you very much, I'll have a bit of that. Jesus becomes a kind of add-on, a bit like an app that you install onto the tablet of your life along with all the other apps, and then when it doesn't work anymore, you just delete it. Of course, sometimes on the surface, it's like the person we're with, they don't actually need Jesus because they're pretty sorted. They look happy, they've got everything they could ever want. Happy family, good job. Well, they don't really need the message. Or perhaps someone who's already caught up in some religious system, whether it's Islam or Buddhism or some other religious belief. Well, they don't need it because they've got their alternative. So the message of Christianity is not an add-on. This is about life and death. It's about heaven and hell. Confidence comes from being clear on the message. Secondly, it comes from being clear on the means. The means, verse 47. The repentance, forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name. It will be preached. Do we really have to preach the good news? I mean, surely living in such a multicultural, cosmopolitan metropolis as Hong Kong, surely we ought to be a little bit more sensitive. I mean, Bible bashers, they've caused an awful lot of damage over the years, haven't they? Surely our responsibility is simply to live distinctively, to love one another. And then hopefully people, they'll see. They'll ask us what it is that makes the difference. Well, yes, it's true. We do have a responsibility, don't we, as God's people, to display God's glory to the people around us, to live as his holy people. And yet when it comes to sharing the good news, nowhere in the Bible are we told that first you need to win a hearing, and only when they can respect you for the way you are different, only then can you tell people. Nowhere are we told that, are we? If we are, then maybe perhaps you can come and tell me later. Friends, we need to open our mouths. We don't have a monopoly on living good lives. I have Buddhist, Muslim friends who put me to shame, frankly, for the way they live. Brothers and sisters, sharing this message really is the right thing to be doing. It won't be the only thing we do, but it definitely should be our priority. It's interesting to see how Luke develops this theme of proclamation throughout his account. Right from the beginning, we see Jesus' manifesto. Well, his priority is proclaiming, preaching this good news. If you read on into Luke's second part, the sequel, Acts, again, we see that preaching, the word getting out there, is right at the heart, the center of the agenda for the church. This should give us confidence, shouldn't it? And yet, if you're anything like me, you might be sitting here this morning thinking, that doesn't give me confidence. That makes me feel scared. It is scary, isn't it? And yet, praise the Lord, we're not alone as we do this. Just look on to verse 49. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Wonderful, isn't it? The Holy Spirit sent for us, the church, to continue the works of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, to give us courage to preach his good news. What a relief. And of course, ultimately, it's not down to us. Yes, the means is preaching, it's proclaiming, it's sharing conversationally with the people around us. But any fruit, that's not our responsibility. We work together with the Lord. We preach the gospel, but the results, well, we prayerfully leave to the Lord. Of course, that's true not just for us as individuals, but as a church, as we seek to go forward. And so what an encouragement to see on your website. Again, if you haven't looked, have a look, it's great. The focus as a church is that we proclaim, that we preach this message. In many ways, it would feel much more satisfying if as a church we would be busy running all kinds of soup kitchens and projects that would help the real poor people in Hong Kong, and there are many of them, aren't there? There are real needs out there. And to do those things wouldn't be a bad thing. It would be very impressive. Wow, you're part of that church. So great what you guys do. Now, preaching is the means that Jesus has given us. Confidence comes from being clear on the message, from being clear on the means, and then thirdly, the scope. Do you see the scope in verse 47? Repentance, forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations. Notice with me, this is both, on the one hand, exclusive, but on the other hand, inclusive. It's exclusive. The gospel is to be preached in my name. Jesus' name. Not in any other name, in Jesus' name. Only in his name. Now, of course, that can seem very intolerant, can't it, in our postmodern pluralist society that we live in today in the 21st century. Especially in such a global city as Hong Kong. And yet Luke is crystal clear. There is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. We can be confident that salvation is found in no one else. Is it just me? Or do you find that many of the people that we seek to share the gospel with here in Hong Kong are people who assume that Christianity is a Western religion? Is that true? Friends, we must keep remembering that this message, repentance and forgiveness of sin, it is the only way that people can be right with God, that we can have hope for the future. And so when we're chatting to a colleague who's just come back from mid-autumn festival and they've visited a Buddhist temple, we need to remember that no, they need Jesus. When we talk with a colleague and they're telling us about their time during Ramadan, we need to remember they need Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. The God of the Bible, the one true God, has always been concerned for all nations. This is an inclusive message. Those of you doing the Bible overview, why not, as you keep going through the whole Bible, look for this theme of the nations. The Bible doesn't begin with Abraham. Funny, growing up, I always thought the Old Testament, that's about God's relationship with the Jews. Where does it begin? Not with Abraham, but with Adam. And even when you get to Genesis 12 and the promise to Abraham, it's a promise for what? For people of all nations. We see that promise being fulfilled bit by bit. Israel called out of Egypt to be a light to the nations around, to display God's glory, that the nations would come in and worship. And then we get that partial fulfillment. Perhaps if you're interested at this afternoon, you could grab a moment, look at 1 Kings chapter 4. It's an amazing picture of this partially restored kingdom and all the nations coming to see this perfect kingdom. The Queen of Sheba wants to know King Solomon, the son of David, on the throne. And yet it's just partial. Chapter 11, we see he's devoted to foreign women. He isn't devoted to the Lord. And so we get to the exile, God's people have been thrown out of the promised land, and yet the prophets, they preach that one day all nations will come and gather in worship of the one true King, Yahweh. Many of us will be familiar with the end of the Bible, Revelation. The scope is extraordinary, isn't it? So inclusive that on the last day there will be a people of every ethnic group, tribe, and every language and tongue praising the King of Kings, the Lamb on the throne. What a glorious picture. The new earth will not be a gathering of white middle-class people. It will not be a gathering of Chinese people. It will be a multicultural, ethnic display of God's wonder and glory. And think how much more glory goes to God. The fact that he's worshipped by all kinds of people. Not just that people group and that, but every single people group recognizing and acknowledging he alone is worthy of praise. Every people group dependent on the mercy of the Lamb of God. And so as Jesus prepares to go back to the Father, he uses his final words to tell God's people to take this message to all nations. We know that one day Jesus will return. But first the gospel is to go out to people of all nations. For that is the scope of his purposes. It is indeed God's plan for the whole world. Which is our final point this morning, briefly. We can have confidence to share this message to people of every people group. Because this is God's plan. Think about the last 2,000 years. In fact, if we read on in Luke's account, perhaps just keep a finger there and turn over to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Just as Jesus had told them they were to wait in Jerusalem. Chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And we get to the end of Acts chapter 28. Where are they? Well, Paul's in Rome, the center of the known world. Already by that stage, the gospel has gone out so far from Jerusalem. And then how's the history continued of the world? Well, the gospel has continued to go out further and further to the people of all ethnic groups. Not least in these last 50 to 100 years, it's extraordinary. If you were to look at the progress, the advance of the gospel in recent years, it's a wonderful thing. We should be full of praise and thanks for what the Lord is doing, what he's doing today. But what about the next 20 years? There are still many people groups who've never heard that Jesus is King, that they need to repent, and that Jesus has come to forgive them of their sins. This last week at that conference with our mainland Chinese brothers and sisters, it was so encouraging to hear, right at the heart of the vision, to see returnees come from all over the world back to China to be a blessing to China, but not just to China. That through the mainland Chinese turning to Christ in the thousands, that some of them, perhaps especially returnees who are already used to relating cross-culturally, that they might go to all nations. And of course the economy is doing that for China. China is expanding all over the world. Africa is full of Chinese. As you pray for the church in China, let's pray that they would be going out to China, to Africa, to Arab countries, to Bangladesh, with this wonderful gospel message. Well, how about ourselves? Ambassador International. We have a wonderful opportunity, don't we? Let's get out there and share this good news. We are living in one of the best cities in the whole world to reach the nations with this gospel. Who knows, it could be that that Nepalese security guard, that Indonesian maid, that mainland Chinese colleague, that American parent. It could be that they prove to be a key influence, that through them turning to Christ, whole communities end up turning and worshipping the King of Kings. And let's pray like that, big prayers. Praying that God would do that. Praying with real confidence, knowing this is God's plan. This is what he's up to in the world. And so as we wake up tomorrow morning, if Jesus hasn't returned, we know it's because this is God's plan. As we go to the office, as we go to the American club or whatever we're involved in tomorrow morning, know that we are going and we are to be in line with God's plan that this message would go out to all nations. Ambassador International. What a wonderful name. And yet, let's not just be international for pragmatic reasons. An English-speaking church for people living in Hong Kong. This is God's will for every church. And so if you end up leaving Hong Kong and going to some other part of the world, and you're in a community where there's just one people group, you're still called to be part of this international mission. You might be just giving money to seeing the gospel taken to one. You might be praying. We're all to be involved in reaching the nations. Brothers and sisters, as we go out this week, let's have real confidence to share this message with people of all ethnic groups. Let me finish by leading us in prayer. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, triune, holy, mighty, merciful God, we acknowledge you are indeed worthy of all praise and glory, majesty. For you alone rule on high. Father, we thank you that despite the fact that we turn our backs on you and we go on living as if you're not the king, that your mercy knows no limits. Father, we thank you for forgiveness of sins. And we thank you that that is open to people of all ethnic groups. Well, please continue to advance your kingdom. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In this city, Hong Kong, throughout the world, may your name be hallowed. And please use us, weak and feeble as we are. Please continue to increase our confidence that you might use us to share this message with the people of all nations, those around us at the moment in Hong Kong, and wherever you take us in the years to come. Please, use us for your glory. That on the last day there might be people giving thanks and praise to you for using us in some small way to make you known, to share that message, that all the glory might go to you. We pray in Jesus' name.